Well, time to go into the seventh tackle segment with Josh Masood. It's a real treat to have you on board, Josh. How are you?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys rather than Des Hasler. First thing in the morning, two great faces. You guys are looking tremendous.
Now, it was strange, wasn't it, when you quizzed him about that 36-0 loss and he goes, well, have you ever had a bad day?
Well, every day you're at Belmore at 7 in the morning, that's the first face you see. It's not a good start to the
day, is it?
But, yeah, he's great theatre, Des Hasler. I actually enjoy it.
I enjoy
it. Going and talking to him, you never know what answer he's going to get. I think he rather enjoys it as well. Obviously, this week's a really stressful one for him. But him and Wayne Bennett, they handle the media so well. I noticed that when they're under pressure, when they've had a big loss, they tend to be more open because they know they need to fill the vacuum with something and that they can control the message a bit better. I think Des Hasler did that fairly well. It obviously won't make a difference to what happens in the next few weeks with his future. Obviously, at that huge board meeting tonight at ANZ Stadium.
Is he really under the pump? Do you think?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There was a two-year extension. Things were looking promising.
Yeah.
My mail was that the Bulldogs just needed to win a couple more games for the board to be comfortable that the news could be delivered to the fans because, obviously, the end of last year wasn't good. They got a win over the Warriors. It was a bit unconvincing, but then that was not in the game plan, that loss to Manly. That set things back quite a bit. So I think we'll probably have to wait another maybe 3 or 4 weeks to see how they go after tonight. It's a tough game. I can't see them winning. But they do have a rather friendly draw after that.
Look, it's not Einstein stuff, but I did say this morning we've been saying it's. Look, I don't think there's a better credential coach out there than Des Hasler available to take that slot. But it's the recruitment that's killing him.
How bad has it been when you look at it? Really, what player has been developed from within and below at Belmore in Des Hasler's time?
Well, they haven't kicked on for him. You know, he put his faith in Michael Leisha, you know, got him across from Cronulla. He hasn't kicked on. Will Hopewate hasn't kicked on. They just Moses Mbai hasn't kicked on. Josh Reynolds maybe has gone backwards, as much as I love Josh Reynolds, and he could be a success at another club.
But you see clubs developing players from within. You hear about clubs about a great under-20s player, a great reserve grade player. Mm. Wait till this kid debuts. I never hear that at Canterbury. They buy from elsewhere. And a good example, they had a great opportunity to get Connor Watson when he was a schoolboy at just 16 years of age. He was playing for Southeastern in the South Sydney comp. And none other than Peter Tunks, the Bulldogs great, was his coach. And he couldn't understand why Canterbury were the only club that was showing no interest in Connor Watson. So he actually rang the Bulldogs and said, what about this kid? And they just showed no interest whatsoever. And that little anecdote tells me a lot that they've probably fallen asleep at the wheel for a long time on this, and now it's beginning to bear some ugly fruit.
All right, Tiger Town, mate. What's happening there?
What's not happening? Well, an interesting one. Aaron Woods... Geez, we've talked about him. He's handled himself well. I obviously hear him every week here, and he's been hammered, but it's going to keep going while it's uncertain. He is their captain, and the New Zealand Warriors, I'm hearing Steve Kearney is a big fan of Aaron Woods. Now, they share a common manager in Isaac Moses. They also share the common mind coach in Joe Wiebe, who was kicked out of the Tigers. That caused a bit of a stir with the boys, so I know that Steve Kearney is an admirer. Probably a big move for Aaron Woods.
Mate,
he's a
laid-back
guy.
You couldn't send your mother-in-law to the Warriors. Fair dinkum.
Well, you could. That's why you sent
them. That's where money... money couldn't get me there. There you go. You know, we were talking about it earlier. You've got to get some cash, but get a competitive club.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, we're talking about Des Hasler being under pressure. What about Steve Kearney? Give him one more week with Kieran Foran. If they can't produce this week with Kieran Foran back on the paddock at home against the Titans... There's some big misgivings around his appointment, given his record at Parramatta, surely.
I watched him interviewed last night. He's just not the same confident guy, Kieran Foran.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just... Maybe that's because I know what he's been through, but he just doesn't exude that confidence.
Well, you draw confidence, I suppose, from recent performances, and he's got nothing to go off. That would have shattered him doing his hamstring. But the interesting one with this Aaron Woods and the Warriors link is also that the Warriors have Ben Mataluno off contract as well. Now, he's a great... prop going through a bit of injury at the moment, but the Tigers have made an inquiry about him, and Ivan Cleary debuted him in first grade. He's a big fan of Ben Mataluno. I spoke to his manager yesterday, and he expected the West Tigers to up their interest in him once Ivan is appointed in the next few days. So an interesting little dynamic going on there between the Tigers and the Warriors.
Yeah, it will, and some interesting times, because Ivan will have his own ideas about the 6-7 and Woodsy and Tedesco. Well, Blind Freddie would take Tedesco, surely.
He would, but I mean, I suppose the thing that Ivan would be thinking is, do they need to be broken up? Is there too much of a power block there with them all managed by the same agent. And there's been issues at the Tigers before. We know it before with Robbie Farah, Benji Marshall, player power being too much of an issue there at Concord. Is history repeating itself, and does Ivan need to step in and take this opportunity to maybe break this click up?
What's Ivan going to do with Lebanon, mate? Is he going to coach them?
That's what's delaying it a little bit. That's one of the issues. Yeah. He wants to, and he's already, you know, taken the gig, taken a bit of money, met the players, addressed them last week. So it's something that he's passionate about. But guys, from the West Tigers' point of view, they're paying the big bucks to have him there, and for him to miss the first 2 or 3 weeks of his first preseason is definitely not ideal. So yeah, unfortunately, I think you'll have to give that one up. Well, it's one of the things they're haggling over in the last few days. Yeah. But no, it won't stop him coaching the Tigers.
No.
But I think he'll have to give up that gig for the World Cup. Yes.
Brett Camorley, mate, he's going through, I'm sure, the toughest time of his life.
Terrible.
And he's got people rallying him around him.
Yeah, the funeral for Shani is on today down at Warrinora Cemetery.
So sad, isn't it?
It's been amazing, hasn't it, guys? Looking at the, I don't think we got to know Shani as a real public figure, but the outpouring of grief and support from the rugby league community is a real sign of how respected Brett Camorley is. He was one of the best guys I've ever dealt with. I'm sure you guys have dealt with him
Fantastic.
From a media perspective.
Lovely
as well.
Man.
He always got it so polite, so much on his plate with four daughters all the time, and now to have to look after them, that's a huge thing that the rugby league community is thinking of. A big rap to the Melbourne Storm. Five or six of his former teammates are making the trip from interstate to support him today. And also his club down in the Illawarra Coal League, the West Devils. They're sending up their whole team. They're all taking the day off work to support Brett Camorley on what is just a tragic, tragic day.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is terrible. There's nothing.
There's nothing you can say.
Four young kids.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
position for him to be in. And I suppose she was struggling for around a year and very few knew about the private battle and what he was going through. You couldn't have told the professionalism he showed with his media commitments and his coaching commitments. Just incredible. A real pro, Brett Camorley.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Josh, and we'll be taking your calls on 13 53 53 for all your queries regarding rugby league. And call 13 53 53 and text on 0419 767 272. It was going to be the secret, the move to Coffs Harbour for the New South Wales Origin side. That was going to turn around all the fortunes. They did get a series win out of there, by the way.
There you go.
But Coffs Harbour...
Yeah, but you've poo-pooed it every year.
Mate, they've peeled it back.
TK didn't like it from the
Slipped
outset.
Slipped up on a banana skin, has it?
Well, what you need,
I don't
though, mate...
You know
you,
what I...
No, you need to go into some sort of environment that keeps you together, and that's what that was.
Yeah,
that's
well,
all
now
it
they're
was.
Going to Kingscliff. That it's like you can throw a six-stitcher into Queensland from there, right? And it's terribly close to the Gold Coast. And you know the temptations, Slats. You know better than most.
What?
The temptations of the Gold Coast.
I don't have any temptations.
Well, what about the temptations of where they're staying in Sydney? At the casino.
Oh.
So this came up earlier this week, and I almost couldn't believe my ears, given the some of the issues around gambling and rugby league players at the moment. Now, I know they're not going to be sleeping on the roulette wheel and playing blackjack to all hours of the morning. I get that. They're probably going to be staying somewhere at one of the properties just off-site from the casino. But my personal point of view, and everyone's not going to agree with me, I just don't think it's the appropriate look at the moment. We've had the Tim Simona gambling
scandal.
Well,
they're sponsors of the
They are sponsors.
Site.
But I think that, and that's fine. They're on the jersey. They have their events there. But to have the team staying there for over a week, it just doesn't sit that well with me when there's alternate accommodation arrangements all over Sydney.
They're a sponsor.
They are. They've been sponsored for 2 years, so why haven't they stayed there in the past couple of years?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't have
about.
An issue with it.
Yeah. I just don't. I just think it gives ammunition to people who
well, it does.
Who
they're vulnerable,
but
they can get in a taxi and go there too, can't they?
Oh, it's not about the players doing it. I think it's when rugby league keeps having issues with gambling, and then, well, what do you expect when the New South Wales Origin team is staying at the casino? You get that look. I think sometimes it's easy to just avoid that, to be proactive and avoid that type of thing, because it's not the only hotel in town.
Yeah, I don't think we need to cleanse life that badly these days, but, you know, maybe I'm a little bit old-fashioned there.
I might be being a bit pessimist, and I might be being a bit protective. I just... Yeah, mm. I just think it's a big issue, and just,
well, there's no doubt,
you have
Josh.
You have your ear to the ground.
If I'm still in a team environment and I get my itinerary and they say you're staying at the casino, the players will look at each other and go, "Yoo-hoo, hey, you're beauty,
number 21."
I'm sure they're thinking that. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, Josh Masood. If you call now, you'll get through. Ask a question. He is. Got on the pulse with all things happening in the world of rugby league. I know you heard Chris, the Indian call. He was a classic, wasn't he? He's the Indian
narc. Didn't hear you, though,
Slats. I don't think he is that well.
Well, how does he
was on such a rant.
How does he hear the show?
Well, that's
to
it.
To bag it. That's the thing I couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
There was a lot of feedback.
It was very funny.
There was a lot of feedback. Obviously, we're talking about that temptation about staying the New South Wales Origin side at the casino. I can resist anything but temptation. Is one text. Hey, lads, this is the best segment of the week. Greg Insight into the game. Cheers, Pinchy.
Thank you.
Love TK, though. No, it doesn't.
Is that my mum? Is that called his name?
Pinchy.
Anna?
Okay. Pinchy. You must
know
him.
One of our listeners. Now, listen, we're reading this morning, and we've been talking about it for a while, that as of next year, we might be seeing regular $1 million payments to the top-end players. Mm-hmm. Minimum wage going up, $300,000 being the average. All sounds good for the players.
Yeah, and they had a big meeting on Monday, RLPA, and it's going to go up the salary cap. I'm very confident to $10 million. So you're going to look at $9.5 million base, and then $500,000 of bits and pieces, long serving player allowances, cars,
all that,
and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's a huge rise. That's you're talking about a 28% rise on that. So and that's why a player like Jack Bird, who's just had 2 years in first grade, is commanding close to $1 million a season. So. Mm. Yeah, it's fair enough. That's what you've got to pay for the match winners. What worries
price.
Me, boys, what worries me is the gap that's developing between the standard of NRL and the lower tier.
Oh,
let's have a look at the Bulldogs again. They've brought in two players from New South Wales Cup who haven't exactly set the world alight. They're bringing in another one tonight. We'll see how he goes, the halfback. But, you know, you sort of talk to people about him and no one is expecting big things outside the Canterbury club. I'm really worried about that level of the game, and is the money going too much towards the top end and the bottom is falling out, because that's the future of the game. And I don't see a lot coming through. I'll ask you another question. Who's your rookie of the year this year so far?
Oh, God.
No idea.
Usually after
is Trbojevic still a rookie?
No.
Or maybe he's got a little brother. He might get the later on. But usually after four
we could
rounds,
probably claim Hess.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's eligible. He played a couple of games last year.
He's the one that comes to mind for me. He's a superstar.
But usually after four rounds, there's about five or six of them straight away that jump out of the ground. Mm. It's not as easy to pick. It's Hess or the Brian Kelly from Manly.
Yeah, he's been good.
He's been great.
Sounds like we're talking about Sheffield Shield cricket and the state of young cricket
coming
through. It's pretty similar.
That's true.
Mate.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, though, they'll appear out of nowhere, and you didn't see him coming. But he's been around for a while, but just underachieving.
See, we haven't got enough time for my theory there, but we expect these guys, these lesser lights, to have the same dedication as a first-grade rugby league player or a test cricketer. We demand that of their time. Yep. These guys have got to make a living as well.
Equal amount of time, then you get to
that chance, am I going to get a start, or do I have to make a living for my family? And you got to make a living for your family.
If the money's not good enough,
that's right. They don't stay involved with those lower grades. If they don't get automatic selection from the under-20s up into the top grade, that's a theory for another day. I could fill a show with it. Hello, Nick.
Good morning, boys.
Hi, Nick.
Yeah, look, Josh, considering all the media hype and all the talk about rugby league, the crowds are abysmal. Every time you see a game, it's empty stadiums. Why is the media so quiet on that?
Yeah, okay. A couple of things, I reckon. The time slots are terrible. Try getting to ANZ Stadium tonight on a Thursday. Try getting to Allianz Stadium tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Just shocking scheduling there from the NRL. So it's obviously all skewed towards TV. And Nick, I think a lot of this links back to what we were talking before about maybe the decline in participation at the grassroots. People are consuming this much more through their mobile phones now. It costs $99 to get the Telstra app and watch every game through the season on your mobile phone. So I think people are a lot more tech savvy. I think that's got a lot to do with it, plus the traffic in Sydney. I don't really know what the NRL can do. I can tell you now, they're not Robinson Crusoe when it comes to this. The AFL are also experiencing a decline in crowds too.
Good on you, Josh.
And racing. Nick, it's a good question. Hold the line, mate. We'll get you at a couple of Big Sports Breakfast caps. Thanks, Josh. Seventh tackle.
Well
cheers,
done, mate.
Boys.
We'll see you on 7 News
Great
as
job.
Well.
Will do.
There you
Great
go.
Job.